Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. I know. You're stunned. Stunned, yay, even, that there is a show for the family caregiver. And it's here on American Family Radio, and it's live on a Saturday morning. Here very early in the morning, because guess what? Caregivers get up early. Caregivers sometimes stay up all through the night. And I am thrilled that you are a part of this show. If you want to be on the show, 888-589-8840, and we'd love to have you call in and share what's on your heart. We try to do a couple things on this show. We have an agenda of what we want to talk about, things we want to do. But if you're struggling with something that is even off topic, we will try to put on the brakes and come to a screeching halt as best as we can to talk to you and answer whatever's on your heart, speak to it, give you some type of encouragement on it and practical help. And we'll do that. That's our commitment. Now, there's a couple of things. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm on American Family Radio. However, the American Family Association, everything's in Mississippi. We've had a lot of storms in Nashville. So if you hear this voice step in that says you're listening to Peter Rosenberger on Hope for the Caregiver, that's our buddy Jim Stanley way over in Mississippi. Jim, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. How are you feeling?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Well, for a man of my age and limited abilities, I think I'm okay.
Well, good.
And but we've got some nasty storms getting ready to pop here. So if you have a little bit of a disconnect, don't freak out. Jim, steady hand is on the till, and he will get us to safety. Audio safety. Isn't that the word we're using, Jim?
That's it.
Audio safety.
Audio safety.
It's a safety first, kid. So wear a helmet when you listen to this show. Hey, but no, this is a show for caregivers, about caregivers, and it is designed to strengthen those who are helping the weakest among us, the sickest among us, the most vulnerable among us. But who is helping the person pushing the wheelchair? Who is helping the person that is standing in the hospital room corner in the middle of the night? Or back and forth to the doctor's office? Or in the middle of the hospital parking garage at 2 a.m. having a meltdown, standing at a nursing home or at a hospice. All those individuals, a family with special needs whose kid screams through the night and won't stop. A family with special needs child who has a retching disorder. Doesn't stop retching or seizures or whatever. You can't plan very well around that kind of thing. You just have to just exist in it. But is that it? Are we limited to that? Is that all we can do? Is just exist in it? I say nay, nay. I say no, we can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life, even while functioning as Martha when we want to be Mary. Okay? So, and if you don't get that, call in and I'll explain it to you. But that's what we can do as family caregivers. I like to start off with a scripture. This is from my favorite book in the Bible, and it's Job. Not for the reasons you think, okay? Because a lot of times people read Job because they want to commiserate and say, okay, you know, we're suffering like Job. No. That's not for the reasons I think. That I look at it as my favorite. At the beginning of this book, if you go back and look at the first 2 chapters, it's very difficult to wrap your mind around the fact that God and Satan are having a discussion about a guy that is completely oblivious to what's going on. He's just living his life. Good man. God even says so. Have you considered my servant Job? And they make this wager, this cosmic wager. Now, if you don't like what I'm saying, read the text, because Satan says, yeah, but I can do this. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. Back and forth between God and Satan. Go back and look at the text. And then God allows Satan to just wreck Job's life. Just wreck it. And it becomes this horrific display of maladies on him. And then God allows about 30-something chapters of really bad theology to be displayed on the pages of Scripture. And then at the end, God shows up and never answers all the questions, but brings the full weight of his presence, or as much as Job could handle, to the discussion. And Job is able to see the magnitude, as much as his mind can understand, of God and who he is and his sovereignty. And then God restores things to Job. That gives me great comfort. And I'll tell you why. Because there are things about God we don't understand. He has his eye on us. He does not feel the need to answer all of our questions. In fact, he rarely feels the need to answer any of our questions. And yet he assures us of his presence and his sovereignty, that he is Lord of all. And if he's Lord at all, he's Lord of all, even the affliction that you're dealing with this morning as a family caregiver, even the frustration, the anger, the rage, the resentment, all of these things that you may or may not be feeling at this point, but you will as a family caregiver, he's Lord of all those things. Now, I'm going to read a verse that I love this verse. I quote this verse often, Job 2:13. Now, look at this. I have to put on my glasses for those of you watching on Facebook Live because I'm getting old. How old? Well, I've got an autographed copy of the Bible. Jim, do you have a laugh track?
I do not.
Well, clearly, Jim, you don't have a laugh track.
I do not. That because that, you know, my only question is how many folks did you get to sign it? Did you get Peter and Paul or just
No.
Just Jehovah.
Just the author.
Okay.
Just the author. I should have used. I'm so old. I remember when the Dead Sea was just getting sick, but
that's
maybe
right.
Okay, never. All right, okay, enough. Job 2:13, so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. They sat down for 7 days, and nobody said a word to him. How many people do you know that can sit with you for 7 minutes in your struggles and not say a word to you? You know, this thing didn't go off the rails theologically for these fellows until they started talking. And I think that if you're a caregiver right now, you understand what it's like when people want to come and opine to you and bloviate about why God's doing what he's doing. These guys spent 30-something chapters in Scripture trying to tell Job why God was doing what he's doing. And every one of them got it wrong, so much to the point that God at the end of it said, hey, you fellas better go ask Job to pray for you lest I visit you with this stuff. Go back and look at it. So when we want to speculate on why people are going through what they're going through and why God is doing what he's doing, it's probably best to put our hand over our mouth. For those of you who have experienced this, and you have, and I know you have, because if you've done this for any length of time, if you have pushed somebody in a wheelchair for any length of time, if you have gone through horrific loss and sorrow and disease and affliction and so forth, there's always somebody who wants to come up to you and speculate on why God's doing what he's doing, as if they can somehow see into the mind of the Almighty. But they can't, and neither can you, and we don't have to. Because we can trust him. Now, how do we know that we can trust him? How do we know this? He stretched out his arms and gave his life for us on the cross. That's it. That's how we know. Because he took all those afflictions that were visited on Job, all of that, and so much more on himself to reconcile this. And no matter what we're looking at, no matter what we're facing, we have that comfort knowing, okay, this isn't the end of the story. There's more going on, and we don't know. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Shuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I am bringing you more than three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And we're on American Family Radio, and we're glad that you're with us. 888-589-8840 if you want to be on the show. 888-589-8840. And for those of you just joining, American Family Radio and I started talking about this some time ago, bringing this show that I've been doing for some years now to this family of stations across the country and those streaming around the world, because family is in the middle name of American Family Radio, and the family caregiver is an endangered individual. These are people who are putting themselves between someone they love who is dealing with often horrible things. And they're putting themselves between that person and even worse disaster. But how do you help that person? What does it look like to help somebody who is pushing a wheelchair on a regular basis? What does it look like to help somebody who is dealing with a family member with Alzheimer's? I was just speaking last week in North Carolina to a Parkinson's conference. How do you help somebody who is taking care of somebody with Parkinson's? Parkinson's is not necessarily a terminal disease. We're all terminal, but it's not something that's going to just be imminent in a matter of months. This thing can drag on for a very, very long time. And it has progressing and progressive symptoms. How do you help somebody that does that and deals with that reality? I'm going to be speaking later on this year to a Huntington's disease conference. I've done four or five of those things. Huntington's disease is a horrible disease. It's got all the heartache of ALS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's wrapped up into one disease. And it is brutal. How about somebody with mental illness? What does that look like to help those individuals? These are these are horrific realities for so many people. And that's what this show is about. And that's why I'm grateful that American Family Radio brought this show to the network and said, you know what, we're going to reach out to these folks who are at risk. And you just heard in the last segment there about all the things that we have to deal with in the context of a sovereign God who took on the penalty for all of this on himself. And he's not going to answer our questions on it. I can tell you, he doesn't look at us as consultants. but he assures us of his presence. See, we demand answers, but we really need assurance. And he knows that. Because if you look through all of Scripture, rarely does he give answers to these people who are struggling with these things. Some of them just go to their grave and never really understand. But what he does do is give his presence to it and bring his the magnificence of his presence into our affliction. And that's a picture of what the cross is, because he brought the magnificence of his presence into the affliction of our sin and took care of that. And this is our hope. And so as we do the day-to-day task that we do as caregivers, that's what we lean on. That's what sustains us. Now let's talk about some practical thing. You ever heard of the Delta Doctrine? Jim, you ever heard of the Delta Doctrine?
No, sir, I have not.
All right. Well, the Delta Doctrine, by the way, that's Jim Stanley over in Mississippi producing this show. But the Delta Doctrine is, I was flying out of Atlanta one time on Delta, you know, and by the way, Delta stands for duh, everything leaves through Atlanta. That's what it stands for. Did you know that, Jim? Duh, everything leaves through Atlanta?
That I have heard before, yes, because you can't get anywhere without going through Atlanta.
You've got to go. So I was flying out, and the flight attendant comes on and says, what we've all heard, put your mask on first. And I thought, okay, well, that's it for caregivers. We've all heard that too. That's it. But what does it look like to put your mask on first? Because so many of us will just recklessly throw ourselves at another human being who is struggling, and we'll hold our breath thinking that we could do this. And we will just try to just white knuckle it through it. But every airline, every flight attendant, every government official, every pilot, everybody says repeatedly, put your mask on first. Now, they don't tell you how to open the pretzels or the peanuts, which are surprisingly difficult to open. I'm just saying. They don't tell you how to use that atomic suction device known as a toilet, because they think we're going to figure that thing out. But they tell you every single time, put your mask on first. Why? Because they know it's counterintuitive. They know we don't think that way. We're not wired that way. In many respects, we're wired to just rush into a burning building when it comes to a loved one that is suffering. But there are cases when we need to see to our own safety first before we recklessly put ourselves and someone else in even worse danger. We may be the only person who can help that individual, but how long can you hold your breath? You're not much good to somebody if you pass out. So, what does putting your mask on first look like? All right, I got three things. W, W, W. Okay, remember those things. W, W, W. Wait, water, walk. Okay, this is the Delta Doctrine. This is in my book, Hope for the Caregiver. The Delta Doctrine. WWW, wait, water, walk. Now, I was told a long time ago that I couldn't say W the way I normally say it, being from South Carolina, because normally I say WWW, but I'm not supposed to say that, right, Jim?
No, sir, that is correct. It is W.
I've learned that.
The whole double mint gum, W.
I know that now. Sadly, that piece of information was a little tardy getting to me.
Yeah, but the only time that you were allowed to use W was when you were referring to our former president.
To number 43.
That's right.
W. So wait, let's go back to this. The Delta Doctrine. Here's what it looks like to put your mask on first. If you're dealing with somebody who is struggling, who's infirmed, who's impaired, and you are there to help them, here's how you put your mask on first. Wait. Just wait. Okay? You don't have to start talking immediately. If you go back and look at our scripture today, Job 2:13, these guys sat next to Job and they were silent for 7 days. There's just way too many of us out there who just feel the need to start telling people why this is all happening, what they need to do, giving instructions, you know, helpful. And we think we're being helpful, but helpful is the sunny side of control. Okay? You can write that one down. Helpful is the sunny side of control. Sometimes we're just trying to control people. It makes us feel better. Has nothing to do with them. It's just all about us. How many of you all have been on the receiving end of that? where somebody just wants to come up and be helpful. You know, and then they'll say things that are kind of goofy. Like, you know, brother, we're going to pray for you. Well, okay, what are you going to pray? You going to pray that my wife's legs grow back? Is that what you're going to pray? You're going to talk to the Almighty and you want me to feel better about this? Sometimes we just say things without realizing the impact of what it has on somebody who is dealing with this every single day. It's like going to the post office and you're carrying a bunch of boxes and somebody looks at you and say, brother, you look to be burdened down. I'm going to pray for you. Well, hold the door while you do it. I mean, you know, we just spout off these things, not realizing the impact on somebody who is really struggling. And we can help as we pray. We don't have to announce that we're praying. Sometimes we can just pray as we're doing things. This is how you help a caregiver. You don't come up and preach to them in your prayers. That's another thing that happens. People preach in their prayers. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going from preaching to meddling on this, but I've been the recipient of that. When people preach at me through their prayers. And so when you as a caregiver are struggling with this, first off, the thing you can do with the loved one you have is just wait. Just wait. You don't have to rush in just at that moment. Just wait for a minute. You don't have to start talking. Sometimes it's okay to bite your tongue and learn to like the taste of blood. You know, you just don't have to talk. Go back and look at Job 2:13. They sat there for 7 days silent. We can at least go 7 minutes. If we can't do 7 days, sometimes we can just do 7 minutes. It doesn't mean we're not communicating the gospel. It doesn't mean that we're not ministering to these folks. It just means that we're not injecting our opinion into a situation. We're waiting. We're holding our tongue. And there are a lot of scriptures out there about holding your tongue. I don't think I've seen any, and Jim, you can back me up on this, but I don't think I've seen anything where it says get out there and just start running your mouth.
No, sir.
But I've seen a lot that says hold your tongue. Better is a soft word, a gentle word. And we've all been recipients of people who just want to just blather on. And we're all guilty of it at some point or the other. Because we want to figure out why. We want to make sense of what God's doing. And I'm telling you, if you look at the whole book of Job, you're not going to make sense of some of these things. Even still, with the benefit of Scripture and everything else we got, it still doesn't make sense on why Job would go through all these things and why God would allow this. It just doesn't. Not in our minds. They say, well, he restored it, you know, 100-fold. Did he restore the children's lives that were taken? See, there's just some things that just don't make sense. And who are we to try to make sense of what God's doing? We want these answers. And what he extends to us is assurance of his presence. And that's how we function as caregivers, to understand that he is not abandoning us. He's with us. Doesn't always look the way we want to look. Doesn't always feel the way we want it to feel. But that doesn't mean he's not with us. So wait. That's the first part of the Delta Doctrine. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. Don't feel this incessant need to just start doing something. Sometimes it's okay to be still and know that he is God. He hasn't called you to fix it. And I don't know that any of us have felt much success at fixing anything. My wife has had 80 surgeries. Her 80th surgery was this year. She just had a procedure Wednesday on another 80 or 100 of these things, of these little procedures we don't even count as surgeries. I can't fix this. Both legs amputated, $10 million in medical bills, 100 doctors. I can't fix all this. So I wait, because my job is not to fix it. It's something different. And that's step one of the Delta Doctrine, to help family caregivers put their mask on first. We're going to talk about some more of it in the next segment. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 if you want to be on the show. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Do you feel that changes in life are hard to accept?
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Change is often unsettling. It can lead to a loss of hope and insecurity. A fact of life is the only thing that's certain is change. The prophet Isaiah said, "The former things I declared of old, and suddenly I did them, and they came to pass." In the margin of my Bible, I have 6 specific dates noted next to this verse. These were times when God was preparing me for major changes in my life. Jesus prepares us and doesn't leave us alone in the change process. Hope comes from trusting Jesus in the midst of huge change.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who's not. How are you feeling? You okay? It's Saturday morning. It's live. We're on American Family Radio, and we want to know how you're doing as a family caregiver. Are you, how are you handling it right now? 888-589-8840. This is your show. This is your time to discuss about the things that's going on with you. Most caregivers I know, including myself, have a difficult time talking in first person singular. We don't want to talk about how we're doing. We talk about how somebody else is doing. I ask a caregiver sometimes, you know, how are you doing? Well, we just got home from the hospital, or she had a bad night, or he's not doing real well. That's not what I asked. I ask how you are feeling. This is your time. I'm on a mission to help strengthen the family caregiver. There are 65 million Americans right now putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. How do you help these people? What does it look like? Why do we need to do it? Well, because if a caregiver goes down, who's taking care of that loved one? My wife, 35 years ago, had a horrible car wreck. 80 surgeries later that we can count, at least 80 to 100 procedures smaller than that, both legs amputated, $10 million, 100 doctors, 12 hospitals, 7 insurance companies. What happens to her if I'm not in a good place emotionally, physically, financially, professionally? What happens to her? What happens to your loved one if you're not in a good place? And if you think that, well, I'm not doing this right now. Well, guess what? If you love somebody, you're going to do this. If you live long enough, you're going to need this. We have a vested interest in dealing with the family caregiver. 888-589-8840. Write that number down, 888-589-8840, because that's your lifeline to a lifetime of experience to help you navigate through this thing without losing yourself. And we've been talking about the Delta Doctrine. And this is from my book, Hope for the Caregiver. This is the name of the show. Hope for the Caregiver is the website. The Delta Doctrine. Now, the Delta Doctrine, duh, everything leaves through Atlanta. That's what Delta stands for. And I saw this, for those of you now just joining us, when I was on the plane, and we've all seen this, put on your mask first. Okay, we got that. And everybody says that to caregivers, put your mask on first. But what does it really look like? And it's WWW, wait, water, walk, wait. Sometimes you just don't need to talk. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. You know, a lot of times we get in these tug of wars with people, with our loved one or with family members who want to tell us how we're doing. And we don't need to pick up that rope, because there's only 2 possible outcomes in a tug of war. If you win, you end up on your rear. If you lose, you end up on your face. So just don't pick up the rope. You don't have to go to every fight that you get a ticket to. You just don't have to do it. See, being a caregiver is not limited to just physical task of taking care of the physical needs of another human being. Being a caregiver involves constant berating from from family members who criticize. I was just talking to somebody just 2 days ago, out and about. I was just going through the grocery store, and they were talking about how just they got family members that just want to just wail on them. You're not doing it right, or such and such. You know, I mean, this is, there's no end of criticism, or dealing with a doctor's office or nurse or hospital or doesn't matter, your employer, your employees, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no end of scenarios where we want to somehow have to have these altercations with people about how we're doing what they're not helping us do, and yet they want to tell us how to do it better. And you don't have to go to those fights. You don't have to get in those tug of wars. You don't have to explain yourself. Sometimes it's okay for you to just wait, to not talk. The second W is water. Drink to think, not Coke, not Sprite, not Mountain, certainly not Mountain Dew. You don't even, and Red Bull. None of those things are going to help you in those high crisis moments. Coffee, tea, all those kinds of things. As much as we all like them, they're not going to help you, but water will. You need to hydrate. Drink to think. Just water. Just drink some water. It also gives you something to put in your mouth besides words, because we don't need to get into all these flashpoints that we have as caregivers. And we've got to calm ourselves down. Okay? We've got to spend the time disciplining ourselves, settling ourselves down so that we can function calmer in a situation. You don't have to be this super wise, smart, over-the-top, brilliant person. In the Army, sometimes they say the leader is the guy that remembers where the Jeep is parked. That's our job as caregivers, just to remember where the Jeep's parked, so we can get out of this quagmire that we're in. All right. I make a commitment to you guys that when you call in, I'm going to bring it to a screeching halt for just a second. And we're going to talk to Eric in Dallas right now. Eric, in the great state of Texas, the wonderful city of Dallas, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Eric?
Hi, I'm doing great, man. I just wanted to make a comment to you that I commend you highly for what the situation you've been through with your wife, and I just imagine that that's what has got you into the ministry that you're doing. The comment you made a while ago that if you love somebody, you're going to do it, and I haven't been a caregiver, but my wife was one for like 5 years, and I was there with her, and I've never saw love displayed like her with her mother. She was her mother had Alzheimer's, and they got to where she had to even, you know, like pick her up and put her on a porta potty. And when I saw her heave her mother up off that bed, that little lady, everything, it just ministered to my heart, and it ministers to my heart what you've been through with your wife, sir. And I just wanted to say, may the Lord bless you.
Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate that. How's your wife doing right now?
My wife's doing fine. Her mother passed away a couple of years ago almost. And, we were on drugs for many years. And finally, the Lord straightened us out. We've been sober now for 8 years. And, we're just a work in progress. You know, he promised that he would complete the work that he started in us. And I just want to say, sir, that your ministry is vital to people that needs somebody to talk to through the experience that you have. And I just want to, you're on my prayer list now, you know.
Well, thank you. And, thank you, Eric. And now, is your wife with you right now?
No, sir. I'm about to go to work. She's at home.
Well, listen, would you tell her something? Would you tell her something for us?
Yes, sir, I will.
Would you give her a message to tell her that she's an extraordinary individual, and she modeled honoring her mother and father exactly the way we're asked to do it. And she did it great, and she did it as unto the Lord, and we're grateful for that on her behalf, and we rejoice with her in what she did and the impact she made on your life as she did it. Would you tell her that?
Oh, that's going to mean the world to her. And that's, you know, as iron sharpens iron, I know for a fact that that's really going to lift her up. And I just thank you so, so much, sir.
Well, you're quite welcome, Eric. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to call. This is Peter Rosenberger on American Family Radio. Hope for the Caregiver, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you want to be on the show, and that's exactly what we're talking about is this woman was taking care of her mother with Alzheimer's. And there are some very difficult tasks you have to do as a family caregiver. There's nothing about this that can be easy. And there are heartbreaking tasks that you have to do. And it's not fun to have to have that role reversal of taking care of your parents. But do we have to be miserable doing it? Now, let me explain what that looks like, because a lot of people say, well, you know, they give these generic things. We drill down very specific on this show. My wife is a double amputee. Must I be an amputee to take care of her? Just because she's in pain all the time, must I be? We have to look at difficult situations and grim situations at times. But that doesn't mean that we have to be difficult and that we have to be grim. I mean, it's just that simple. We don't have to be. We can be calmer, healthier, and even more joyful while we're dealing with this. Now, how do I know this? Well, look at Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They were beaten in prison. Beaten. And they're not in a nice prison like we have today. They are in a bad place. And they were beaten. And it says that around midnight, they were singing hymns. Now, how many of you all are singing hymns around midnight after a long day of being a caregiver? I don't think any of us have been beaten and thrown into a prison. Not like that. And yet they were singing hymns. So what did they know about Christ that we need to know as we're dealing with all these things? That even with their bruises and wounds and in this prison and all the horrificness of this, what did they know? Betsy Tin Boone was in a concentration camp, thanking God for the fleas because it kept the guards away so she could lead these women in a Bible study. Her sister Corey Tin Boone was aghast at that. How could you be this way? She didn't really understand Betsy. But Betsy knew things about Christ that Corey didn't yet, but would. And by the way, later on in her life, when she was a very, very elderly, Corey Tin Boone met this little girl who was 6 years old and led her to Christ. And that little girl was my wife, Gracie. How about that? All right, hopeforthecaregiver.com. And we get back to our little discussion here. Well, now I'll tell you what. I'm going to take another call here. But Jim, do I have time to squeeze it in for the next break?
No, sir. You're coming up on your break here in just a minute.
Okay, well, we're going to tell them to hang on, and we'll get to them.
I'll do that. Let's do this. As you call 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and if you're calling in, let the phone ring. Our call screener will get to you, and they're taking the information from the previous caller, so don't give up if you're calling in. Let it ring for a couple of minutes, and we'll get straight to you.
I promise Jim will get on it like a pack of dogs on a three-legged cat. He'll do it. And this is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio, 888-589-8840. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
20 years later, I'm still using the leadership skills that I learned in school.
Welcome to TIPS with public school educator Dr. Bill Ziegler.
So many people think the school just teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic. But really, for me, the greatest skill I think I learned from school was leadership. When I was in the band, I was asked to be a section leader. And from that point, I became vice president of the band, president of the band. I still, 20 years later, use many of those skills and strategies that I used back then as a high school senior when I was leading the marching band and the jazz band and the concert band. I still use those today in my profession. What we learn in school is so much bigger than reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's leadership, teamwork, character, collaboration, and communication. Help your kids get involved today to make a real change in their lives tomorrow.
Great educational resources are available at 4tips.org. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing.
You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And
welcome back to the show for the Family Caregiver. This is hope for the caregiver. The hope for the caregiver is the conviction, the unswerving conviction, that we as caregivers can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, an even more joyful life as we take care of somebody who is dealing with something that is way beyond our control. As we care for those who are the weakest, most infirmed among us, how do we deal with this with ourselves? What does that look like? And that's what this show is all about. 888-589-8840. I think we have Larry from Moody, Texas. Larry, you with us?
Yes, I am.
How you feeling?
This is kind of a wild moment for me. It might be a little awkward sounding for a bit, but Ben, you said something about what other people say, and they're giving the idea, and I just dialed up. Not even being prepared, but there's two things real quick. My parents, they've been gone for 34 years. They cared for one of my brothers. I'm the youngest of eight. They cared for one about in the middle. He got polio when he was 6 months old, and he was total invalid. I mean, totally lying in bed. That's all I ever saw. For 37 years, they took care of him in the home. And, oh, my gosh, his tombstone says, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And now the awkward part, and I just called you up, the parallels with my situation right now are astounding, but nobody understands. I'm sorry, that reveals my emotion. I'm living on property that is inherited, and I deeded it to my second son. He's 40 years old now, and it's like, okay, I don't know. No, you might not understand the effects of internet addiction. He's getting more like disabled, if you will, as the progression goes by. He's got three siblings. Nobody understands. Everybody wants to say what I should do, and I should this, and I should this, and I'm not able. But I'm literally, I'm criticized all the time if I say anything. I'm literally providing for him, and he's not disabled yet. But
How old is he?
He's 40.
He's 40, and you're providing for him.
Yes, it's crazy.
And does he have a job? Hang on just a second. Does he have a job, Larry?
He could.
Okay. Who's paying? Hey, you say he's got Larry, now I'm gonna ask you a couple quick questions because I got calls lining up here, and I need to try to get as many as I can in before the end of the hour. So let me ask you a question. Who's paying for his internet service?
I am, because
Larry.
I have to have him take care of mine.
All right, Larry. If you're paying for his internet service and you're saying he's addicted to this, which means basically he's addicted to pornography, then what you're saying is, Larry, that you're enabling this. So if he was an alcoholic,
100 times.
If he's an alcoholic, Larry, would you take him to the liquor store?
I understand. I thought I'd give it a shot. I don't know how it would cost me $1,000.
Larry, how much is it costing you now?
Yes, sir. What?
How much is it costing you now?
Not much.
No. How much is it costing your heart? How much is it costing your heart to watch your son go through this?
I guess I won't be able to explain anymore. I've explained this to so many people, and that's all they ever say. Nobody wants to help him.
Larry, they can't help him if you're in the way. Sometimes you're going to have to let go of him and step out of the way and let life take him to a place where then he will ask for help. He doesn't want help bad enough at this point.
I understand that. I saw his mother go the same way, and it didn't work.
Well,
said wait till she goes on to rock bottom, and he'll never hit rock bottom. And I don't have the resources to get a different provider for me and pay somebody else to do my. He's totally capable. He does a tremendous amount of stuff for me and so forth. But I can't find anybody to. Okay.
What?
I guess
what do you want, what, Larry? What? Do,
it out to you.
Larry, let me ask you a question. What do you want to do?
I don't know what else I can do.
That's not what I asked. What do you want to do?
I want to see him.
Want to do for Larry?
I'm doing it already. I'm doing what I can for me.
Okay. Are you seeing some kind of counselor?
Years ago, yes.
How about now? How about you make an appointment with some type of counselor and develop some kind of plan, like a sit down with a licensed clinical social worker, some type of pastor or clergy that you trust that's wise enough to deal with this kind of stuff, and sit down and make a action step plan of what you're going to do. Instead of combating this with your emotions, why don't you combat this with reason and with godly principles of step by step, what's the next action step?
All I know,
because if this guy's doing all this work for you,
all I know is that for 15 years, I went to 24 counselors for an identical, it wasn't internet, but identical parallel with my son's mother, and it was a failure. Every imaginable professional I've been to, and it was Job's counselors. It's everything you've been saying. That's why I called.
Larry, in the interest of time, I can't drag out your entire life story on this on the show here. But Larry, it sounds like you're doing the same thing twice, and there's an enabling thing going on here. And maybe the problem is not necessarily them. It's maybe you not functioning with hard truths of letting go of some of these things and letting this guy crash and burn. He's 40 years old, Larry, and you're paying his internet bill that you hate him doing, but you're doing it. This is what happens with a lot of caregivers. We start enabling the very behavior that we resent.
And all that. I understand it.
I bet you do understand it, but what are you doing about it is the question.
Every professional told me the same thing about his mother. And she will have to get to a point where she, and it didn't happen. It never happened. I lost everything. I won't take any more of your time. I had to give it a try.
Larry, I think you gave it a good start, but what's going to happen is you're going to have to step back from this thing, and he's going to have to, he may not make it, but you have to. Now, evidently there's some kind of symbiotic relationship here going on because you need him to do certain things for you. But you're not willing to cut him off because you need those things. It's going to cost you $1,000 a month. But I listen to the angst that's in your voice that you've been, this has been going on now twice with two different family members. How much is $1,000 a month worth to you? Because it sounds like $1,000 a month is worth more to you than the peace of mind of having your son get to a healthier place. And if he crashes and burns, he crashes and burns. But if you continue to enable this, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And this is what happens with us as caregivers. A lot of times we just enable the very behavior that we resent, and we don't see it, and we want to explain our situation, that we're the only ones dealing with this. Nobody understands our circumstances. Nobody can understand our unique circumstances. Well, guess what? That's not accurate. I understand it because I've done it. I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you can fail at it, I failed at it. The whole point of this show is to help strengthen us so that we can make those hard decisions, that we're not somehow trying to figure out somebody else's dysfunction, but we're trying to live a healthier, calmer life ourselves. And sometimes that means cutting ourselves free from things. That means walking away from certain things, even if it's somebody we love. We've got to get out of the way and let life take a swing at these folks so that they will come to their senses. And if we got to send them along their way until they get to the point where they're slopping pigs, and then they come to their senses in a pig slop, well, guess what? There's a biblical precedent for that. That's hard medicine. That's grown-up theology, and that's what we have to do sometimes. I want to try to, I don't know if I can do this or not, but Judith from West Virginia, can I squeeze you in just in the last couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Judith, we only got about a minute. Can you squeeze it in?
Yeah, I'll do it quick. My husband has had Alzheimer's. He's dead now. And I got to the point where I was angry a lot of times. I finally took it to the Lord, and he is the biggest help in the world. I went to hospice, and I went to senior center, and they were a help in the end. And when he died, everybody says, oh, I'm so sorry. He was a good Christian man. We were in prison for a couple of years, and when he died, it was a hallelujah. I miss him, but he's home, and we're both out of that prison. So,
how are you feeling right now?
I am terrific. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I do miss him, but I know where he's at. And I kept him at home. I did the best I could. And there were times when I got extremely angry with him. And that comes.
It does, you know, indeed. Judith, I'm out of time here, and I got to go. I am so grateful you called. And appreciate that very much, because you know what? He is with his Savior, and you are with your Savior right now, who is guiding you through this process. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I am so grateful to American Family Radio to have this show on. If you want to see more, go to hopeforthecaregiver.com. Hopeforthecaregiver.com. We'll see you next week. This is Peter Rosenberger.